I'm Tony Hendrow.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
I'm Lara Logan. Welcome to Lara Logan's Rockin' Eve. I'm taking a leave of absence from my leave of absence from 60 Minutes to host the Final Edition's look back at the year in news, culture, and Lara Logan. I'll be speaking with this year's biggest newsmakers, even some that have nothing to do with Lara Logan. From our studio in Times Square, I can see 200,000 rabid Lara Logan fans just waiting for Lara Loganisms to emanate from my sweater, which is two sizes too small. Here's Prince George, the newest royal, and the only one whose teeth have a reason for not being in bad condition. George, who's a bigger twat, your mum or your grandmum?
Well, my grandmum had a bigger twat, but my mum was a bigger twat.
Prince George, this year you received almost as much attention as Lara Logan. What trends do you predict for the monarchy in 2014?
More buggery.
George, your mum caused a bigger scandal than Lara Logan when she posed topless before you were born. Where do you see Kate going with her lifetime career as a royal window dressing?
I don't know about that. All I think of is my mum is one big juicy nipple.
And they call me a royal pain. Here's something equally painful.
Last week, Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi identified the reason for a decline in child literacy and educational scores in America during the last several decades as the result of mothers entering the workforce. This insight so electrified the Republican base that the House Committee on What the Hell's Gotten Into Women These Days convened a panel of experts led by the governor to examine further the causes of modern social decline and upheaval. Speaker John Boehner presented its findings today.
The House Committee on What the Hell's Gotten Into Women These Days will come to order. Governor Bryant?
Our approach was to take three dozen crises over the last 40 years and find their causes. Mr. Speaker, you'd help us move things along by reading the list. Our panel will respond.
All right, number one, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
After extensive analysis, we concluded that the world was brought to the brink of nuclear extinction by the increasing numbers of women entering the workforce.
Number two, Watergate.
Working mothers were behind the trumped-up charges that forced President Richard Nixon to resign.
Number three, the OPEC oil embargo.
Arab-sympathizing working mothers.
Our humiliating defeat in Vietnam.
Jane Fonda-type working moms.
The Three Mile Island nuclear meltdown.
Working moms.
The Panama Canal giveaway.
Working moms.
The Cuyahoga River catching fire.
Working moms.
Cocaine, gay discos, Donna Summer.
Working moms.
The Iran hostage crisis.
Working moms.
The attempt on Ronald Reagan's life.
Working moms.
Boy George, George Michael, Marilyn Manson, Elton John.
Working moms.
The savings and loan scandals.
Working moms.
OJ's acquittal.
Working moms.
Crack-related AIDS.
Working moms.
Alzheimer's, breast cancer, autism, lupus.
Working moms.
Bovine encephalitis or mad cow disease.
Working moms.
The Enron debacle and the fall of Arthur Anderson.
Working moms.
Dot-com bubble.
Working moms.
9/11.
Working moms.
Non-existent weapons of mass destruction.
Working moms.
Hurricane Katrina.
Working moms.
Abu Ghraib.
Working moms.
Pastor Ted's downfall.
Working moms.
Failure of the Oslo Accords.
Working moms.
Frequent nighttime urination.
Working moms.
This is Lara Logan, back with Elmo. Elmo, as a children's character even more annoying than Lara Logan, can you tell us what was the best thing to happen to children this year?
Well, the best thing to happen to children from Elmo's perspective is Elmo.
Uh-huh. As a Muppet with a limited vocabulary, what do you see happening to the Tea Party in 2014?
Well, Elmo thinks that in 2014, Elmo's gonna have a very big year, and the Tea Party get to watch it.
I would have thought you'd have mentioned the man who had his hand up your ass and was fired for having sex with underage boys. Lara Logan would like to know how to get to Sesame Street, but first, check this out.
And now, the final edition's Candy Steiner brings you a special report.
Sesame Street has always been a place of fun and learning. However, recently, the final edition has learned that there's a dark side of Sesame Street, and it isn't any fun. This dark side involves the star of the street, Elmo, and this story is brought to you by the letter A. A for addiction.
Sunny day, sweeping the clouds away.
Elmo wants more cocaine!
Elmo has gone crazy with the cocaine, and Sesame Street has been successfully hiding this since 1997.
Elmo wants cocaine and an olive oil sponge bath, and Mr. Grouch is going to get me both!
Oh, Elmo, not again! Can't we just do your crummy musical and call it a day?
Olive oil sponge bath? Now!
Bert and Ernie are very disturbed by the number of prostitutes on the set.
Ernie, you didn't put a call in for Elmo again, did you?
Hey, Bert, what am I supposed to do? Every time I say I'm uncomfortable with this, he threatens to cut me.
Hello, boys. Where is that fuzzy little monster?
Oh, hello, Rhonda. Where he always is.
In the alley behind Big Bird's nest.
Oh, over here, Mr. and Miss Rhonda. Elmo wants to feel good. Elmo wants to feel good.
At least stay in the back alley this time, Elmo. Baby Bear should never have seen that.
The residents of Sesame Street don't know when this nightmare will end.
Elmo doesn't need rehab. Elmo just needs sweet cocaine and Zoe to shut a pie hole and do what she's supposed to do.
Oh, Elmo, I don't want to.
Hold still, Zoe. Let me do this line off that sweet tutu.
Elmo!
I will cut you, Zoe. I will cut you right now.
So Sesame Street carries on with this dark secret with no relief in sight.
Well, what are y'all gonna do? Huh? The frog is never coming back. And who is going to do Elmo the musical without Elmo? The star of the show! Elmo!
Abby, rub that nub-nub or Elmo will cut you.
Sesame Street is only grateful that Mr. Hooper wasn't alive to witness this behavior.
Aw, how do you think he died? He David Carradine'd in front of Susan and Maria. That's a crummy way to go.
This is Candy Steiner for the final edition, and I'm horrified.
Sanctuary! Sanctuary! Where are my horns?
I'm Lara Logan. I'm here with Jay Carney, President Obama's undistinguished press secretary. Jay, Obama's administration has gone from an unmitigated disaster to a mitigated disaster. What awful bungles are you planning for 2014?
That's an excellent question. I got four words for you. Joe Biden sex tape.
Jay, in 2013, President Obama took us from the brink of war with Syria to the brink of a working website with Obamacare. What was your favorite brink of 2013?
That's an excellent question. I have several words for you. Our favorite brink was the Brink's trunk of money we gave to Wall Street.
Jay, President Obama was the embarrassment of the world and reprimanded by the Chancellor of Germany for tapping her cell phone. My question is, why can't you tap the cell phone of Lara Logan?
Take it easy, but that is another excellent question. Rather than tapping that cell phone, we would all like to tap that ass.
A man who can spread falsehood almost as freely as Lara Logan. Speaking of spreading falsehoods, listen to this.
We just checked the headlines, and it looks like it's time for episode 2 of Oh That George, starring George Zimmerman, the lovable little scamp who gets into all kinds of trouble, but never gets in trouble. Well, it looks like old George is having lady troubles again. Let's drop by the local police station where he's hanging out with his old friend, Officer Tom.
All right, George. Now, did you smash all those things in your girlfriend's apartment, or did she?
Oh, let's just say things were smashed. I tell you, Officer Tom, I'll just never understand women. First my girl tells me to leave her house, then she gets mad when I start packing, so I tell her to leave.
Well, then you pointed a gun in her face.
That's what she said.
Well, George, America can't stay mad at you. You're free to go.
Thanks, Officer Tom.
And don't forget your guns.
All right, first you tell me to leave, now you're stalling me over the guns. You're going psycho on me, Tom. You're out of control. You've got to get out of here.
I've got to what?
Get out, Tom, now!
But you're kicking me out of my own police station.
Later, George goes to stay with his old pal, Sean Hannity. Sean always understands.
Buck up, George. Everyone knows you're the real victim. You're always the real victim.
But geez, Sean, how am I ever gonna work things out with the ladies?
Relax. Why, it just so happens I've got Carol from downstairs dropping by for dinner. There she is now. Hey, Carol, this is my friend George.
Hi, I'm George. May I take your coat? You can just hang them on my gun. I use it for everything.
How resourceful.
George, you shot a hole in her coat!
It had a knife!
Later that evening...
You know, George, I'm glad Sean left us alone. I think I've been waiting my whole life for a guy like you.
Gosh, do you mean it?
Yeah. You know, I've been in a lot of abusive relationships in my life. One right after another. Over and over. Every single time. But I know this is going to be different. My instincts are never wrong. Except whenever I get into the abusive relationships.
That sounds great, Carol. I just have one question. It's the middle of the night. What are you doing in Sean Hannity's apartment?
I'm Lara Logan, and I'm back with a musical guest, Neil Young. Neil, you appear on the final editions This Week in Canada. What song was your favorite to do this year?
Keep on boycotting down in SeaWorld.
Rob Ford made headlines for a statement about eating his wife's vagina. What was your reaction to Rob Ford?
Shameless, 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 shameless.
Thank you, Neil. Everyone knows this is nowhere. Now, listen to the final edition on the run in the 21st century.
Welcome to This Week in Canada, 2 weeks behind the world, eh? With us are Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather, and embattled Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. Mayor Ford.
Sorry, I was eating.
Speaking of eating, in a recent press conference you said you wouldn't eat a staffer's pussy because you got enough to eat at home. What's that all about?
I never said that. I said I have more than enough to eat at home.
I have a question about that.
Yes, father of Canadian socialism, Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather.
Is there just enough pussy for you, or is it equitably distributed to all Canadian citizens?
Look, I'm happily married. That's why I referred to my wife's vagina in public as food.
Joni Mitchell, is Mayor Ford the worst thing to come out of Canada since Loverboy?
Press an ass who doesn't care and crack cocaine fumes in the air. A moron who should not be mayor. I've looked at Ford that way.
I've seen the mayor and the damage done.
Neil Young.
Oh, he lives on Cocaine Mountain with the groping and the racial slurs.
Mayor, your substance abuse problem is well known. What's all that about?
Come on, I only smoke crack when I'm drunk.
Okay, but the important thing is, were you ever on crack when you watched Argo?
Oh, yeah.
We were terrible for that. Hey, I'm a loutish, corrupt, fat bastard who shouldn't be allowed on a Toronto bus, let alone the mayor's office, but I would never be intoxicated for Argo.
Oh, he's okay.
Hey, my. Crackhead mayor can never die.
Aw, you're too kind. I'm probably gonna go any day now.
That's our show, eh? 2 weeks behind everyone else. Next time, Canadian Evangeline Lilly from The Hobbit. The Desolation of Smog tells us what desolation is all about.
Oh, Canada, we stand on God.
I'm Lara Logan. I'm here with Jan Brewer, the Lara Logan of Gubernatorial Lizards. Tell me, Jan, outside of molting your skin every 3 months, what was your biggest achievement in 2013?
Well, disemboweling all of those Obama-loving liberals. One by one.
And what can we look forward to in the year ahead in Arizona, besides someone strapping you to their car and driving you into Guadalajara?
Disemboweling all of those Obama-loving liberals one by one.
Arizona racists never die. Their skin just gets more leathery than Samsonite luggage. Now listen to this.
Coming soon, from the acclaimed filmmaker who brought you The Civil War, it's Ken Burns' The Republican Civil War, the story of a conflict that would have seared men's souls if anybody involved had them. In the autumn of 2013, the conflict in the Republican Party over just how stupid to be reached the boiling point. Though Republicans had long been united in their embrace of greed and intolerance, the question of stupidity was tearing the party apart. Stupidity opponent Rebecca J. Gladstone wrote of the growing rift.
We suburban moderates within the party want to halt the spread of stupidity. It's a blight upon a party devoted to acquisition of money with Ivy League credentials. But these Tea Party rebels' whole lifestyle is based on stupidity. They see any attempt to curtail it as a step towards total abolition. I believe that this party cannot endure half greedy, half stupid.
For their part, the rebel forces felt that the refusal of moderates to tolerate stupidity fatally weakened the Republicans. Tea Party rebel Lucas Cornfed Higgins took up pen and paper and wrote this anguished complaint.
Stupid pussies, they can kiss my ass!
Managing to misspell ass, pussies, and stupid entirely without irony. Clearly, stupidity was not going to just go away. Matters came to a head at the Battle of the Debt Ceiling. Rebel Commander Ted Cruz devised a strategy based on the relentless pursuit of unattainable goals using unworkable tactics, the very epitome of the stupidity-based approach. During a lull in the fighting, one of Cruz's foot soldiers wrote home.
Dearest Mother, today Commander Cruz, or Mars Ted as we call him, came around to urge each of us to be brave in the forthcoming fight and expressing his regret that he can't be there. Oh, Mother, when will this cruel Obamacare end so that we can live unencumbered by individual mandates?
It was a question that would not be answered until after many bitter Republican primary battles ensued, causing the loss of many more congressional seats. Ken Burns tells the story of the carnage, the passion, and the stupidity as only he can in The Republican Civil War. Don't miss it.
The Republican Civil War is made possible by generous grants from David and Charles Koch.
I'm Lara Logan. I'm here with Michelle Bachman. Michelle, you have the distinction of being a complete fucking idiot. What do you have planned for 2014?
Oh, I'm thinking I'll probably go ahead and continue with the route that I have been taking. I feel so far it's been doing well for me, and I continue to think that maybe, of course, perhaps I might go ahead and keep doing that, I think, maybe.
You're going to be leaving Congress. Who in God's name is going to take you?
Well, I think I'll end up spending a lot of time with my husband, Marcus, and having some real hot sex. Just doing, you know, the married thing and copulating vigorously for hours and hours, probably.
That's a woman that was this close to becoming president. Now, let's listen to something other than me, Lara Logan.
And now for another episode of Michelle Bachman, Girl Detective.
Gee, Michelle, it sure is quiet. I wish we had a mystery to solve.
But I am solving a mystery, Marvin. The case of the government shutdown.
But that case is solved. You shut down the government. You and the Tea Party.
And what are the clues?
You told the Washington Post this is exactly what you wanted. The government could reopen tomorrow if John Boehner just put the Senate budget to a vote in the House, but he won't because he's afraid of you.
So what you're saying is the suspect could be black?
No, I didn't say that. Did I say that? I said you did it. You, Michelle Bachman, you and your friends shut down the government.
So you're saying it was the president all along?
I am not saying that.
You're right. The president must have snuck into Congress, passed a law 3 years ago, got it approved by a congressional majority, had it certified by the Supreme Court, got reelected after passing it, then started implementing it in total defiance of the law.
That is the law. That's actually how the law works.
Mystery solved, Marvin. You're a genius. Now I just need to get my assistant. George, can you come in for a second?
What is it, Mrs. Bachman?
Ow! Oh my God!
Oh my God! Why did you shoot George?
So we can have a new mystery to solve. Who shot George?
You did. I just saw you shoot him.
And what are the clues?
I saw you do it. You're still holding the gun.
Why did you shoot me, Mrs. Bachman?
George just asked you why you shot him.
So you're saying the suspect could be black?
Come back next week when Michelle Bachman, Girl Detective, says...
So, you're saying the president hurt America's credit rating when he wouldn't raise the debt ceiling, and now he might do it again?
No! I said you did that!
This mystery just keeps getting bigger.
I'm Lara Logan, and I'm here with the CEO and founder of Amazon, Jeffrey Bezos. Jeff, you introduced Amazon drones on 60 Minutes when I, Lara Logan, wasn't there. My question is, just who the fuck do you think you are?
I'm Jeff Bezos.
Jeff, your criminally insane laugh even creeps out criminally insane people. Just what do you find so funny, you bald, Dr. Evil-looking computer whiz weirdo?
You know, Amazon, this is a really funny story. Amazon used to be called, well, I wanted it to be called Kadabra. And that's because, it's like abracadabra, you know? But actually, someone said to me, no, you can't call it that because it sounds like cadaver. Cadaver, do you get it? Cadaver! Cadaver! So I called it Amazon.
Does free shipping come with that stupidity? Here's something else you can put in your cart.
And now a message from President Obama and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos.
My fellow shop Americans, as you know, Jeff Bezos is charismatic, but creepy and bald.
I'm like a cross between Dr. Evil and Poindexter from Felix the Cat.
He laughs inappropriately and scares the living crap out of people. He has destroyed the bookstore as we know it, popularized a banana peeler, and is now selling literally everything.
In my spare time, I bought the Washington Post, and I don't even read it.
That's not even funny, but he laughs like a hyena.
A hyena with $25 billion? Tell them about my new plan.
See, I'm the president, and he's telling me what to do. This online Lex Luthor has unveiled his newest unnecessary innovation, Amazon Prime Air.
Drones will fly Amazon products right to your door.
These non-union Klingon delivery bots will be used mainly to ship online crap.
And only partly to help the CIA target ordinary Americans in their own homes.
He doesn't have the right to fly these things under the Constitution.
But I do have the right under the new Kindle Constitution.
Ordinarily, drones are used for peaceful purposes, like inadvertently killing civilians.
So it's possible that Amazon's drones might get you, but we're offering free shipping on all deaths over $35.
Why, with savings like that, you can't afford not to die.
At Amazon, checking out is as easy as checking out.
You know, Syria's President Bashar al-Assad isn't this creepy. Thank you, and God drone America.
Amazon Prime Air, coming soon to the country formerly known as the United States.
I'm Lara Logan. I'm here with the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. Mr. al-Assad, you were spared war with the United States after my colleague, Charlie Rose, spoke to you on PBS. What do you think of the Helena Rubinstein Foundation?
Helena Rubinstein? We don't know. We don't know Helena. We don't know Rubinstein. We don't know viewers like you. We don't know where the money come from. We don't know where the money go. This we do not know. This we do not say. This we do not watch. PBS, we don't know what it is.
Mr. al-Assad, President Obama took us to the brink of war with you and then pulled back. To what do you attribute this sudden change in your fortune?
Helena Rubinstein Foundation.
Mr. al-Assad, your country has been ravaged by war. What do your countrymen think of Lara Logan?
Lara Logan, we think Lara Logan, we don't know. Lara Logan, we know Logan, we don't know. We don't know Lara, Lara Logan, we don't know. We know Lara Logan, we don't know Lara Logan. We know Lara Logan, we know Lara Logan, we don't know Lara Logan. Lara Logan, we know. Lara Logan, we don't know.
You know the old saying, never speak with Assad, because when you do, you make an Assad out of you and me. Now listen to this. I would have asked him more, but I don't speak moron. Here's something a bit more comprehensible.
Hello, dudes. It is me, Hassan Rouhani, the brand new president of Iran. Now, I know what you're thinking. Iran, get back Jack. I don't want anything to do with these yokers. Hey, relax, bros. You're going to like me. I'm just like the Shah, but cooler, man. But I know where you are coming from, bros. You're thinking I'm going to be just like the last president. I mean, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. What was the deal with that guy, right? I mean, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad makes Muammar Gaddafi look like Golda Meir, right? Ha ha! So, relax, my homies.
I'm not like crazy Mahmoud or Saddam Hussein, even though he was your guy. Come on, you know it's true. Our guy, Ayatollah Khomeini. But here are the top 10 reasons why you should like him. Number 10. I have a top 10 list. You gotta be kidding me, bros. That's right. I've been watching your David Letterman. I love that guy, and I couldn't get into Fallon. He gets too excited about interviewing someone he's interviewed like 10 times. Come on, bro. Calm down. Act like you've had a late night talk show before. Okay. Here's number 9. Okay. The Holocaust happened. There you go. Number 8. Now, I'm not saying Katy Perry isn't an infidel slut, but that hot and cold song is catchy. Number 7. Maybe we could have one nuclear bomb. We don't need 80, just one. And only pointed at Israel. We're not going to use it. I just like it pointed at Benjamin Netanyahu. Come on, that guy is an asshole. Come on, bros. Some of you have to be with me on that one. Number 6. I know how to electric slide. Oh, baby. Number 5. Okay. There may be 3 gays in Iran. There. Number 4. I love karaoke. But you have to guess my jam, bros. Okay, I admit it. It's Summer Breeze by Seals and Croft. Number 3. I am glad the U.S. realized we are a democracy and we were going to vote the crazy guy out before they droned our country. Number 2. Okay, we might have a nuclear bomb pointed at them, but doesn't that mean we might recognize Israel? Huh? And number 1. We will take care of Miley Cyrus for the world. We'll do it. So come on, everybody. Get on the Hassan Rouhani train, and we'll grow to only mostly dislike each other. I'm new Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, and I'm cool, bros. Rouhani, out.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, Rachel Rausch, Jen Dodd, Bruce Cherry, Meredith Forbes, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, Bruce Cherry, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Visit thefinaledition.com for more from this past year. All the sizzling satire with teeth you can handle. Also, get the details while you're there on our album, The Vinyl Edition, which is available for your purchase. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra, engineered by Melissa Gerson and Greg Russ, and edited by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2013.